joy it is to be with all of you this morning. Please join me in our responsive call to worship that you'll find in your bulletins. Gather as an Easter people, we celebrate this day as another one filled with the love of Christ, who is alive, present, and active within us, through us, and among us.
We have watched as Jesus broke the bread of the new covenant with his disciples on Monday, Thursday. We witnessed his betrayal at very same night.
We have seen Jesus crucified on Good Friday. We have heard his cries, and he bore the suffering of all God's people.
And at last, we beheld the empty tomb, a symbol of a new life, abundant hope, and great joy for us all.
Jesus is resurrected and walks among us. Our God lives. Let us worship the risen Lord by honoring the life that is happening all around us.
As we venture together into our future, bright with hope, let us celebrate this day in worship and in joy.
Let us pray. Loving God, it is you who gives us each day, and so it is for you that we live each day of our crowded lives, brimming with the opportunity for your great spaciousness. As we gather on this morning in your holy name, in your blessed world, under the agony of your cross, and in the light of your resurrection, your good news for all people, we ask that you open wide our hearts, our minds, and our spirits, and fill us with your peace, the peace of open skies and clear air, the peace of empowerment to make the world better, the peace of rest and healing, which gives not as the world does, not transactionally, but eternally. We pray for your loving spirit to envelop us now in worship, praying earnestly as your Christ taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning, church family.
Well, our Easter season continues for the next few weeks, and so as we talk about some of the opportunities and announcements that are happening in our church community, I invite you to take out those friendship registers that are on the inside and outside aisles. Drop us a line, say hello, especially if you're new or visiting. We have some exciting guests with us today. Most importantly, Dave Stewart, who is here to preach and join us at the pulpit, our church moderator, our seminarian. He does it all, and we thank him for being here with us. We also want to share just our gratitude for our Easter Sunday special missions collection for Hang Time, Her Time, which helps those in Bridgeport who have been impacted by the criminal justice system and incarceration. Last week, because of your generosity, we earned $2,076, which will go into a fund to continue to serve meals once a month for Hang Time. So thank you so much for your generosity. Then, if you look on the back of your service bulletin, you will find a number of very, very exciting events which are coming up. First of all, Next week is, interestingly, my ecclesiastical council. That'll take place at 2 p.m. in this sanctuary, and it's an opportunity for our larger church community of the United Church of Christ, the Fairfield East Association and clergy from them, to come together and to talk with me and ask me questions about my faith journey and about my call to ministry. You are all very much invited to join and to ask me questions and to share in this exciting time with me. And I thank you for all of your support that has led up to that. There's a number of other exciting events taking place, one of which is a classic, the Pickleball at the Parsonage, which will take place Friday, May 5th, Cinco de Mayo. And very importantly, you must RSVP by tomorrow. You can do that by talking to Pam in the church office or by filling out that little sheet that is also in your bulletin. You'll also notice that May 7th is Confirmation Sunday. We'll be hearing the faith journeys of all of our confirmands, so it'll be very special to see how their faith has grown. And then June 11th will be the children's musical, and this is important because during church school starting April 30th, all children will be invited to participate in rehearsals. So get your singing voices ready, kiddos, because that is coming up. And then finally, there's a number of other beautiful events coming up, including Mother's Day, Music Appreciation Sunday, that we really hope to see you all here for. And Broadway Boot Camp, if you can believe it, is also starting up. So if your kid really is ready to sing, it's enrolling for its 22nd season here at Southport. We thank Philip Betancourt for all of his service and all of the boots that have been camped in that process. So sign up there and... And then one other very special announcement to our virtual church community is today is my mother's birthday. So I'd like to wish her, as she's always watching on live stream, a very happy birthday, Mom. Thank you all for joining us here at worship at Southport Congregational.
Of this moment in solitude I pray, giving thanks for your protection as I journey through this day. In full circle I return you from morning until night, like an eagle's silent vigil you watch me while in love.
Thank you, Bo. At this time, I would like to invite up all of our children to join in your part of the service, the children's sermon. So come on up. It's great to see you all. Yeah, you too. Yeah. So come on up, gather round, gather round. I don't know about you guys, but I'm feeling very sleepy. Are you feeling a little sleepy here in church? Yeah? Well, I'm a little tired, so I might actually just go ahead and take a nap, if that's okay with you guys? Yeah? Just, you know, a little break. I have the donkey from Palm Sunday, because I'm just so tired. And actually, now that I've rested, I'm also a little bit hungry. I might want a snack. Snack sound pretty good? Yeah? Have some grapes? You guys are looking at me a little bit funny. Is that not something that we do here at church? Yeah?
It's because you're planned everything accordingly. You knew exactly that you would be tired right after school.
I did. We need to plan for our time. In fact, God baked napping into the calendar of the church. That's why we have Sabbath, right? But it might be a little bit weird to think about taking a nap and eating a snack, right? But what if I told you that it's actually something that's very biblical? Something that there's a lot of stories about it in the Bible. And one of these stories is one of my favorite. So, thousands and thousands of years ago, there was a prophet whose name was Elijah. And a prophet's job is to tell the people how to follow God. It's to tell them to turn away from evil, from selfishness, from greed, and to love each other, and to care about each other. And sometimes that can be very, very exhausting work. Sometimes people don't listen. Have you ever had someone not listen to you? Anyone here? Yeah? It's pretty frustrating, right? It's exhausting. Well, Elijah was so frustrated, so overwhelmed, and so exhausted that he was about to quit. He said, I don't want to do this anymore, God. I got to get out of here. I quit. I'm done. And do you know what God said to him? God said to him, sit down, Elijah. Take a nap. So Elijah did what I just did. He sat down and he took a nap. And then he woke up and he was still a little bit tired. And do you know what God said next? God said, hey, Elijah, have you eaten recently? Would you like a snack? And God gave him a snack. And so Elijah ate his snack. And how do you think he felt after his nap and his snack?
Good.
Good? Yeah? He felt better. It was amazing. A miracle. And so sometimes what I think God is telling us to do is that when we get really, really frustrated or we get overwhelmed or people aren't listening to us or our little sibling is kind of poking at us a little bit too much, what are our options? What can we do if we're feeling overwhelmed? Yeah? Sleep and eat a snack. That's exactly it. You already know. So this is our hope, that we can learn how to take a rest. How to unwind so that next time, instead of blowing up, instead of being like Elijah and going, oh my gosh, God, I can't do this anymore, we take a nap, we eat a snack, and we feel better. And you know, Jesus did this all the time too. The Bible tells us that when Jesus was feeling overwhelmed because everyone wanted something from him, he went off into the wilderness and he maybe napped, maybe ate a snack, and he definitely prayed. So, would you all like to pray with me? Dear God, please help us to be strong.
Please help us to be strong.
But when we don't feel strong, please help us to rest.
Maybe to take a nap.
Maybe to eat some good food.
But to unwind.
And remember that you don't love us for what we do, but for who we are. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus'
Amen. Amen. All right, kiddos, you're going to follow Sydney King to the chapel for church school where you will not nap. That you are all not asleep by now, we enter into a time of prayer. And as we do so, I ask you to keep the following people in your prayers. We pray for Ro Chalais and her whole family on the passing of her mom, Lorette Califf, who died this week. We pray for strength in this time of grief and for resilience and the love of community to be there. We also continue to pray for Neil Rice and his wife, Carol, as they face the challenges of Neil's health concerns and a different kind of life. As we enter into Earth Week, we offer prayers for our natural and built environments, for this home that we've been given by God. We pray that we may take better care of it and all of the vast variety of creatures, from trees to endangered animals, to ourselves and our neighbors that rely upon it for life. And we also, in light of our hang time offering, offer prayers for all those who have been impacted by incarceration and by the injustices of the criminal justice system. We pray that we find better solutions for peace than many of those that we currently rely upon. And so with these prayers and all of those that are in our own hearts and minds, let us bring them up to the Lord. God of new life, God of blank pages, God of clean slates, we arrive to you this morning made new by your resurrection and renewed by your spring light. We come with hearts open, eyes and ears expectant, body and soul yearning to witness your love, to experience your glory, to feel the sharp pains of our past soften and dull to an ache and heal in the light of your story of a world reborn in an empty tomb. And yet the journey to this moment, Lord, has been long. The 40 days wandering in the wilderness, wondering when we might see your face, might take a moment to rest in the shortness of days and the long pull of nights. We remember the glimmers of hope of Palm Sunday, the new future we thought we saw rich with possibilities, and how quickly that gave way, Lord, to pain, to betrayal, to the mockery of our false expectations and the anxiety of wondering if we might be next, to the doubt of wondering what all this waiting was about. God of new life, we have been waiting, and we are waiting now. We are learning to make sense, God, of the lessons written down in everyday life. We are learning to embody Easter in a Good Friday world. We are learning to let go of the darkness in light of your love. And we are trying to understand as you do, God, that the world made new in spirit still holds much of the old form. It is burdensome to bear, and it is often forlorn, and so we pray, God, that we don't have to do it alone. We ask that you be with us, always, as you have promised, and to the end of the age, to walk with us through this season. Teach us to see the mystery of new life. Encourage us to slow down, to breathe, to carefully observe the arrival of spring, and to take refuge in its natural beauty. We pray, God, that we feel your peace not by denying the insecurity, the suffering, and the ugliness of a world that is wrestling with power and powerlessness, a world still wandering with crosses still to bear. But we pray that we may feel your peace by embracing the message that you give us each day of our lives, revealed in many and mysterious ways, and to live into that call for us, to trust that this spring you are making all things new, all things green, all things clean, within us, around us, among us, in the beauty of this world. We pray that you walk with us. In the name of our risen Lord and light, amen. And as we transition into our time of offering, I want to share a little bit of a poem that was shared with me yesterday called The Easter Challenge by Joyce Rupp. She says that the Easter Challenge is to be open to the unexpected, to believe beyond our security, and to welcome God in every form. And it strikes me that that is what generosity is about, to believe beyond our security and give out of our abundance rather than our scarcity. That is when we can feel the generosity of open hearts and share this beautiful Easter season that goes on all year with those in need. And so in that spirit, this morning's offering will be taken and shared again with so much gratitude. join with me in the unison prayer of dedication. With the new life we find in the risen Christ, we give ourselves in service to others. May you receive the work that we do and the gifts that we bring as a blessing in your service. Amen.
I'm not using paper today, I'm using an iPad. So by the grace of God and Steve Jobs, this will work. The scripture this morning comes from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 10, verse 13. Let us hear God's word. No temptation has overtaken you, except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. God will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, God will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. May God bless the reading of God's word. So here we are, people. We are in the first Sunday after Easter. It's Eastertide. We are rejoicing in our salvation and eternal life through Jesus. We've been saved through the resurrected Christ. Jesus died for our sins, and we are reconciled to God. Things get easier from here, right? Right? Things get easier now. Is that what this passage from the Apostle Paul's first letter to the Corinthians is saying? We're saved. No more temptation to sin beyond what we can bear. I don't think so. That's not the reality I've lived. Taking Paul's language on its face, it's sometimes used to reflect on the temptation to sin. Because we often use the word temptation to mean doing something we shouldn't do. And you might read this as providing assurance that God gives us the means to resist the temptation to sin. I want to take a different perspective on it. And the reason for that is that Paul doesn't use the word sin. And no translation that I've seen uses the word sin. Now, for those of you who have read Paul's letters, you know he isn't shy about using the word sin, but he doesn't use it here. The Greek word that Paul uses is parasmos. And the NIV translates that as temptation. So that's the translation that I put in the bulletin. The NRSV, which is the translation in your pews, translates it as testing. But temptation and testing aren't great translations of the Greek word parasmos. A better translation might be experiment, or a trial, or a proving. So what I'm trying to do is move us away from thinking that Paul is talking about being tempted or tested to resist sin, and move us closer to how and when we're tried and pushed or moved into an experiment in a new and challenging place. And what Paul is saying about those times when we're pushed outside of our comfort zones and deeply, deeply into our discomfort zone. So I'm going to share a bit about something I experienced with a client in prison just this last week, coincidentally, as I was writing this. But let me begin with a conversation I had with my new friend, Pat Morrow, our lead deacon today, which sort of got me into this passage, because as Pat and I were talking, he said, "Well, Dave, God doesn't give you anything more than you can handle, right?" And I said, "Well, Pat, you know, I've heard people say that." But I don't think that that common statement is really a good reading of Scripture. And frankly, I don't find it that helpful. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, at chapter 10, verse 13, could be the closest we get to New Testament Scripture that would support that common aphorism. But it's not saying that God doesn't give us more than we can handle. I said to Pat, "I think the way I might say it is God calls us into service and into relationship. And that service and life with God can be really tough. And it can feel sometimes like it's more than we can handle. But if we're open to listening, we will hear that call accurately. We'll respond to that call. We'll acknowledge and know that it's God's call. And then we'll behave in a way that enables us to sustain ourselves in the call. It's when we mistake our own desires for what God is calling us to that we're sort of on our own. We're left to our own devices without the tools that God provides." So when Paul says, "God will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear," to me, a better and more resonant reading is that he's saying, God will not call us into a life with God and service to God's creation that we cannot bear. It's the idea that when God is calling, there's often this strong gravitational pull to pay attention to something else. Or we keep our blinders on so that we aren't seeing or hearing what God is telling us. This is when we ignore or resist God's call in favor of something else that we think we'd rather be doing. Or we quit. Or we get diverted after recognizing it's God's call and responding to God's call. But we don't stick with it. To me, that makes more sense when we consider this Greek word, parasmos. And when we consider it to be more of an experiment pulling us into unfamiliar territory or a trial as opposed to a temptation to sin. So again, I'm talking about where we are pulled and how we might be blinded to avoid God's call in favor of some other call or to quit after responding to God's call. It's like gravity. It's a force that either pulls us in a certain direction or it can prevent us from going anywhere. If we ignore the call to move, gravity's cool with that. It just keeps exerting itself. If we give up after we do move, gravity's fine with that too. It just pulls us back. So overcoming that gravitational pull is kind of like paying attention to God's call. And then just to carry this metaphor forward a bit, I see Paul saying, God's call will never be so out of reach or imperceptible or difficult or incomprehensible that the force of the pull to ignore it or to quit will be stronger than the force of the call to serve. The force of the pull to ignore it or to quit will never be stronger than the force of the call to serve. And if that's the case, you can hear and answer that call. You just need to know that it's God's call for that force to kick in. And when it does, it's powerful. After Paul writes, God will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, he writes, he, meaning God, will also provide a way out so you can endure it. You can endure the pull to quit. You can endure the pull to listen to yourself or your friends over God. It's the same as saying, if it's truly God's call for you, God will provide the strength and the means to endure it. I don't think that can be extrapolated into a trite sentimentality that God doesn't give us more than we can handle. You see, that phrase gets deployed when trying to comfort someone who's experienced tragedy, death, or despair. But I don't think it makes sense in that context. Because it suggests that God is the one imposing tragedy, death, and despair on us. And because God is all good and all loving in Christian theology, there must be something good and loving in that tragedy, death, and despair. No, that's not right. There is nothing good in tragedy, death, and despair, and violence. And God isn't bringing that upon us. What God is doing is providing us the means to cope and to enter into deeper relationship with God in those times. I mean, it just can't be right that I'm supposed to say to a parent who loses a child, well, God doesn't give you anything more than you can handle. Is that what I'm supposed to say to the person who just found out he has terminal brain cancer? Is that what I'm supposed to say to the single mom working two jobs who can barely get by to support her family because her husband left her? It's all good. God doesn't give you anything more than you can handle. That can't be right. It's that God calls us in. God calls us into relationship so that we can endure our limited human existence, so that we don't give up. And God calls us into service too, to God's creation, to make sure others don't give up, and to make sure others maintain hope, providing us with the love, the support, the comfort, and the insight so that we don't quit that service to others. I feel like I don't need to tell you guys this. You're here in church. You know there's something that's pulling you to be here. That's God's call. And you've listened. God's call is what you're feeling when you have the draw to help a stranger or a neighbor when you don't have to. That's God speaking. God's call is what you're hearing when you prioritize your community over your individual comfort. God's call is what you're experiencing when you feel heartache, when you read about the atrocities in the Ukraine, thousands of miles away, or another mass shooting in a town you don't know and have never heard of. God's call is what motivates you to build a life toward others in justice, mercy, and compassion. We don't have to feel compassion, but we do. You know those feelings? Those pulls? Don't resist it. That is God calling you in. Lean into that feeling until it becomes more than a feeling. That's a Boston song. Lean in until it becomes a new vision toward life together. Lean in until it becomes an action. That's God's call. So I'll share a story with you. Some of you know I represent victims of sex trafficking, domestic abuse, and sexual violence. And I said I got this email, coincidentally, from a client last week. This is a woman who was in solitary confinement, which is one of the most horrible, torturous things you can do to a human being. And a truncated version of that note, which she gave me permission to share, reads, "Peace, Dave." That's how she begins every note. "I'm in a room all by myself, just left with my thoughts. And this voice says to give up. And I sometimes feel it's the best solution. All my life I struggled. That guy that raped me when I was only 6 years old never even went to prison for it. But it caused me to be taken away from my mother into foster care, where I endured more suffering. So now I'm asking God, why did that happen?" Another voice says, "I can never give up because it will get better. I'm 48 years old, Dave. When will it get better?" Am I supposed to tell her, God has a plan? God doesn't give you more than you can handle. Somehow I don't see that providing much comfort. Doesn't sound to me very empathetic or loving. And it implies that God is the one giving you your misery. I can imagine the response from her. She might say, "You know what, Dave? This actually is more than I can handle. And damn God, if this is God's doing." Is that the message we're trying to send? Put aside whether it even has a place in Christian theology. Is that the message we as Christians want to convey? After my discussion with Pat, he sent me this awesome YouTube video, which I suggest you guys go look at. It's of the Duke women's basketball coach, Kara Lawson, who tells her players, "We have this tendency to say to ourselves, things are going to get easier. Just need to get through this rough patch and things will get easier. We wait around for things to get easier. You know what, friends? There's some bad news and there's some good news. Bad news is that they won't. Life never gets easier. In fact, the more open we are to God's call, the more life throws your way. When you take those blinders off, the more life throws your way. Why? Because you become less focused on your will and what you want, and more focused on God's will. You become less focused on self-preservation and self-protection, and more focused on communal preservation. You become less focused on the simple answers, the aphorisms that people throw out, and the simple solutions. And you become more focused on the difficult, unanswerable questions. Life does not get easier. But it sure gets more interesting. Gets more expansive, communal, and enlightening when we listen and act on what we hear. I might add that it becomes more liberating. Coach Lawson tells her players, you know what? As soon as things are getting easier for you on this team, we're going to make it harder for you. She tells her players, don't be the person who waits for things to get easier. Be the person who handles hard well. Now, these are my words. Be the person who's listening for what is God's call. Make space for God's call. And recognize that it's God's call. And then answer God's call. Even when it's tough, even when it isn't the safe thing to do, even when it's not what you're taught to do, to get ahead, even when it isn't going to benefit you in some immediate and tangible way. Now, here's the good news. While life doesn't get easier, as Coach Lawson says, we can get better at dealing with the reality, with the hard. Now, she didn't go here, but I will. We can do that by growing into intimacy with God. And what I mean by that is listening to God more intently than listening to that voice in our heads or the advertising and social media that barrages us every hour of every day, or frankly, anything else that's drowning out the truth of God's call. Listening to God more intently than we listen to ourselves. Listening to God more carefully than we listen to someone trying to get us to do more with our blessed 24 hours in each day so that we become more successful. Listening to the truth of God more carefully than we listen to the forces behind our political and economic systems. Listening to God more carefully than we listen to the expectations of our peers and our colleagues, and yes, even our families who have thoughts and plans and expectations for us. There are a lot of false narratives out there pulling our attention away from the truth of God. Narratives that want to sell us something or use our labor or get us to vote for something or someone. Narratives that are designed to drown out the truth of the message God is providing every hour of every day. In both the mundane and the glorious beauty of everyday life. Let God's voice enter the dialogue. Make a little space for that to enter in. If you don't do it consciously, there are enough pernicious other voices out there that will take up that space. God's truth and God's voice is the only truth you're going to hear. Life doesn't get easier. Don't wait for it to get better. That ain't life. Life is dealing with difficult better. It's leaning into the difficult because that's God's call. It's dealing with the reality with greater understanding and insight. And the most effective way to do that, in my mind, is to recognize what God gives us to enable us to answer that challenge. Before I close, I'll share with you my response to that woman who was suffering in solitary in the maximum security prison in New York. There are some folks from my law firm here. I would ask that you not share this with the folks back at the office. They probably wouldn't approve of my response to her. But remember, she said there were two voices she was hearing. She said one was telling her to give up, and the other was telling her to hang on. So I said to her, listen to the voice telling you never give up. That is the voice of God. God loves you. God will hold you. God will embrace you. And even when you're completely alone, God is inviting you into deep and intimate relationship. I said, I'm not going to give you simple, encouraging words. I'm not going to tell you that there's a time when things will get better. We're working on one part of that, getting you justice. But I can't promise that that will make things better. The only thing we all have with each other as brothers and sisters in humanity, which is the way we need to think about this, is the love of God as God's children. I and we are thinking about and praying for you as we hold you, love you, and embrace you as one of our own sisters. Please hang on. Rely on the strength only God can give, and know that we're here for you, fighting like hell. Amen.
Thank you.
dear friends, as you go out into the world in peace and with great courage given to you by our Lord Jesus Christ, may your eyes be open. May your ears be open. May your minds be open to when and where and how God is calling you. And when you see it, act on it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.